the book of Timothy. We can continue in that. So we've already had a little taster as we flow through this morning. We're going to be looking at God bringing us into family. And the reason that is because right in the beginning of this chapter, chapter 5 of Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy that he should not rebuke an older person harshly, but exhort him as if he was your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. So that's where he's starting about being a family. So that's why we started with the happy family game. So I hope you all felt included or confused or whatever you felt. But it is a little bit like families, isn't it, really? Aren't we all a bit different, muddled up, and linking up with lots of different things? And then what happens is we get married, and we get other different people in our family. I'm saying that because I'm privileged this morning to have Bethan and Tom with us. So Tom's joined our family, and we've joined theirs, and he's even watched the Welsh rugby with me yesterday. Celebrating that we're part of the same family. He's had to take that on board. So we were very happy in our house. Well, some of us were. And I'm proud to say that I'm Welsh this morning, so here we go. So we are part of God's bigger family, aren't we? And we're excited to think that our friends from Exmouth are out in South Africa. They're part of our family as well. Martina and some of the women from down there have gone out there. So we're part of the same family together. But more than that, we're actually part of our family here in Iska this morning. So it's great. But Paul then goes on to say a little bit more. I don't know about you, but when I read this book of Timothy, I felt it was a bit like lots of little post-it notes that Paul was just, mind taking that, I must tell him this, or just jot it down. So they are, I feel, sometimes a little bit random. So they jump around a bit, but they are connected. And they usually as well are connected and underpinned by some of the teaching that Paul had already given Timothy, obviously. So then he jumps around from being, we're going to go down to chapter 17. And the reason, the reason why we're doing this is because we're going to put into practice this morning something that Paul is actually teaching us about, telling Timothy to do. And he says this, verse 17, following down to the end of the chapter. It says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. The scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and workers deserve their wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. So there's some clear instruction there that Paul was given to Timothy about how to organize this new community. So the church was established in Ephesus, but relatively speaking, the churches were quite new. And they actually needed to start to live in a way that demonstrated that Jesus was there living among them. We heard from Laura the other day about the church, us if you like, being the place where God dwells. And I mean, that's what the new community in Ephesus was hoping to do. What Paul wanted them to do was demonstrate the love of God, demonstrate that they were a family. So he was giving these instructions about how to organise themselves. So, there's the verses there that we've just read. But some of the things that popped out of that to me were the fact that character is really important. And Paul says in chapter 3, he gives a whole list of things about what leaders should look like, how they should be. And it's based on character. And character isn't something that develops, you know, quickly. Sometimes you have to know people quite well, don't you, before you know their character. And I think Paul is just saying here, character is really important. So leaders should be of sound character. So when you're choosing them, Timothy, you might take some time to get to know who they are. Timothy was quite new to this, really. He'd gone into Ephesus because Paul had sent him. He probably didn't know people quite as well as Paul. And Paul might be thinking, oh, so I wouldn't have put them there if I was you, Timothy. Hang on a minute. Don't be so quick about it. Don't get taken in by some other people who's perhaps sidling up to you, perhaps want to be leaders. Don't show favoritism to them. You just make sure they're of the right character. But if there is a problem, and you notice that there's sort of words about sin going on there, make sure that you do have some witnesses. Quite sensible advice, really, actually based on what the Jewish community would have been doing in the Old Testament scriptures. If we look there, we see some very clear guidance in Exodus and Deuteronomy that God gave to the people of Israel, not to bring any accusations against anyone else without two or three witnesses. It's basically the same thing. It's the same thing with this. So Paul goes on to give some explanation again and says, don't be too quick about this. Take time. And actually, the people that we're going to be praying for this morning, Matt and Gemma and Mark, have sat with us in our leadership team, the senior leadership team. They've joined us. They've been there for a number of months. They've been sitting there thinking, is this for me? Is this right? Does this fit right? And they've been praying about it. We've been praying about it. And you have been asked to pray about it as well, especially during our week of prayer. So we've got to this point where we're taking Paul's advice ourselves, and we're taking time to appoint the leaders here in Issachar. So we're coming to that point in a moment. But also, in this bit here, it does actually say a little bit about remuneration for leaders and respect. And so we've got trustees as well, part of our team this morning that we're going to be praying for. And they are part of the team that will be looking at possibly that sort of thing. So it's a bit of a headache for them if they have to work out with the treasurer how much, who gets paid and who doesn't, all that sort of thing. We leave that to them, so we've given them that job. So there is that, but also I was thinking there's something else about giving respect and honour to people who are teaching and preaching. And it's partly to actually, if God speaks to you through what they're saying, to actually take it on board, you know, and to actually act on it rather than just sort of leave it pass. So if God is speaking to you through what people are teaching and preaching, then it's a good idea to actually take it on board and act on it. And I think that gives honour and respect to the people as well. So I think at that point, it would be really good if we did pray for these people that we've mentioned this morning. So I'm going to hand over to Andy again.
Great. Thanks, Karina. Our introduction there is founded in what the Bible says. And we sense God is speaking to us already this morning. And we're so thankful, aren't we, to be part of family, that our identity is one that's connected through relationship with Father God and through Jesus, a person like us who had human family, as we do, but we're also connected to say we are now his wider family together. So what we do in families, of course, is we have understanding of what it means to be mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. So we're applying that model to how we do life as church together. And it's been brilliant over many years that many of us have served in teams of leaders in different ways at different times. And we come and we go from those teams. They're not set forever in stone. Some are quite glad about that. And we actually just say, well, we want to be very open-handed about where we are with things. But we have a senior leadership team who, in effect, act, if you were listening to Karina's scripture passage there, like as elders. We call ourselves senior leaders in the family. But we're not an organisation. We are a family, first and foremost. We have to really understand that. That's a bit of a revelation from God, I think, sometimes. Say that, therefore, the folks who serve among us do so as one of us. There's no hierarchy. There's no superpower. Okay, we're all working together. We use our gifts to serve one another and to bless one another. And so we've had leaders, and we also have in our setup now a family of churches, family again, and we have a regional team that help us. And so in a moment, we'll have some of the regional team folk here to join us as a church family in praying for these new leaders that Karina's mentioned. Just in that coming and going thing, I want to mention one thing here. We've been blessed in recent years, really blessed, to have Angela as our treasurer, who has worked really hard to tidy us up, sort us out, and keep us on the straight and narrow financially. And sometimes we're quite naughty, believe me. But we've been blessed to have Angela. Now, Angela is saying that come October time, she thinks it's time for her to be handing that on to someone else. Okay, and in appreciating Angela, and in the time scale of transition again, we're putting it out to you. Will you pray with us? Will you think about it? That's quite a big need for us as a church, think about how we manage and operate our finances. Lots of different people are involved in different ways in finances. So we're thanking you, Angela, but saying, Lord, we reach out to you for the future. So come and speak to us or speak to Angela if you want to know more about that. Steve Randall helps in the background of our finances as well. So do have a chat with these folks if you want to find out more or what we should be praying for more specifically. Okay? But come October, we are looking for a new treasurer, and someone ideally who could step into that role and work alongside Angela for a little while. So that's the coming and going. So we've already mentioned that we have trustees. We are a family, but in UK law we have an identity, and that is of a charity. But we also have now two charities working in partnership together with ISCA Community Enterprises, the most recent addition within the ISCA Christian Fellowship Trust charity. And so we'll be praying for some trustees as well in a minute. But that's enough from me. Let's get on with some praying, shall we? We're all praying together. But first of all, we have the regional team folks who are here to pray with us and join us to come up to the front so we see who you are. Sometimes we hear who's on what team and who leads what. Our current regional team folks here include, here we are. Well, should we welcome these guys? So Tim is from Exmouth. We've already prayed for the Exmouth Church today. And Martina, who's away in South Africa, which is great. And some of these other crowd, many of you know, obviously, Chris, Joe, and Norman, and myself. So if the rest of the SLT who have been on board already, you come up and join us, just so you can get an idea of who we are, as much as anything else. Here comes Mr. Bolt. Come in. Here we are. And now we're going to be praying for these three new folks today. So you come and join us now. Let's give these folks a welcome. Mr. Matt Finn, Mr. Gemma McCutcheon, Mr. Mark McCutcheon. Let's welcome them. Now, we played a game at the start, and someone found they had two wives, I understand. But we've asked you to pray. And what we've asked you to do is consider the character of these folks who are in front of you. They serve us as overseers. And we haven't heard anything about two wives or two husbands or anything like that, or anything untoward. So we're confident, and they themselves, you're confident guys, aren't you, that you are called to serve at this time in our church and our senior leadership, which is really brilliant. And so we're just opening the time now for us all to pray, for us all to reach out for these guys in the first instance. We'll pray for trustees in a minute. And just to say, we're receiving and affirming the gift of God that these folks are, and we're all joining in that together. And various ones here I know will want to just say or pray certain things over each of you as we do so. And I haven't asked this before, but is there any of you wanted to say at all? No, just we're ready for this. So let's just begin to pray together, but just join us in praying, thanking God for those who serve among us, and then we begin just to pray. And a few of us will lead on all of our behalf. It doesn't need all of us, some of us will. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I want to thank you for Mark and Gemma and Matt this morning for their willingness to serve you. And Lord, we know that leadership is really about servanthood, and you model that so well. And Lord, they're giving themselves to serve this church. And so we pray a blessing on them this morning. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, you would fill them, you would strengthen them. Lord, that you'd give them wisdom in all that they do. Pray, Lord, that you would equip them. You already have been, Lord, we know that. Lord, to serve this church well for your glory. I pray, Lord, that you give them grace and humility and a heart to love the people. So we just bring them to you this morning. Pray, Lord, they integrate into the team. And Lord, that each one will use the gifts that you've given them to serve the whole one, Lord, and that it will work really well together. So we do thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes,
I was praying for you all this morning. I had a picture. I know there's several places in the world this happens, certainly in South America somewhere, where two rivers come together, and because of the ground they've been flowing over, they're actually different colours. They've picked up different colour sediment. And when the two streams come together, for a while, you can still see the two colours of the original rivers quite distinctly. They don't mix immediately. They take a while to mix. And I just felt, I wasn't quite sure what this meant, but I just feel that God is saying to give it time as you make new relationships and meld into this team. And this is a word to the existing team as well as the new members. To give it time for God to weave together the many skills and talents and abilities that God has put into each of you to make one final mighty river, one team which will operate together. Give it time, but that doesn't mean that you're to lose yourselves and your identities, to maintain what you bring to the team. Keep that going, because we need that. We need you to work together, but we need you to be who you are in God and all the things that God has put within your hearts. And I just felt, a passage I was reading this morning, actually, where Zechariah is repeating something that God has said before to the people of Israel, and particularly to the leaders. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. And finally, in the last sentence, in your heart, do not think evil of each other. And Lord, we want to pray your protection over this team. Yeah. We pray, Lord, that you would guard their hearts against anything that would come between them, anything which would prevent the formation of a good, strong, integrated team to serve your church. Lord God, protect them, guard them, we pray, and help them to remember to keep their hearts open to one another. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
I was praying earlier, and I saw a picture of a tree in blossom, like a cherry tree or magnolia. And the words from a verse from Song of Songs came to mind. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. And I felt this tree, this blossoming tree, is the leadership team. For you, it's a new day. A new team is being formed. Spring is in the air, blossom appears. It's not summer and a time of fruitfulness, but it is a time of blossom, a time of preparation.
Without the blossom, there can be no fruit. The blossom is delicate, beautiful, needs careful attention. You have been called to play a role together as a team. You do not blossom as individuals, but as a team. So as you grow together in your relationships,
oil on each of these three, on you, Mark, Gemma, and Matt, an anointing in the Holy Spirit to be who you are as servants among God's people, and to be received with the respect and with the significance of all that you carry in your heart in the love of God for us, your church, and for his purposes that he's working out through us. Yes. So we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask that his Spirit will fill you, and that the love of Father God will compel you, sustain and drive you forward. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Do take a seat, folks. And other than new trustees, we have Anthony Fletcher and Mr. Richard Shelton. Mr. Anthony Fletcher, Mr. Richard Shelton, would you like to come and just join us at the front? We'll give you a round of applause. And also, there's significance in this thing to be changing. Among our trustees, we are going to pray as well this morning for the new chairs of our trustees, and that is Val Hudson and Steve Hudson. So this is a great representation of our togetherness, obviously, in that Val is now chairing our ISCA community, ISCA Christian Fellowship Trust. That's us as a whole church. It's a historic one. It's the one that's been going a long time. Steve has stepped in to chair ISCA Community Enterprises, which is all about our mission work and so on, and obviously links for a lot of us, our understanding of that, to the Beacon. But there's more to it than that, much more to it, and so it's great to have these. So Rich is going to be joining in with the ISCA Community Enterprises trustees, which is brilliant. We're so thankful that you're offering to serve in that way. And Anthony is bringing his expertise into our charitable trust as this church. We all glad about that?
Yeah.
Let's give them all a big hand. And now we're going to pray as well.
Yes, when I was thinking of this, a scripture came so strongly, I thought I needed to do something about it. Initially, I thought it was for the eldership bit, but then I think the Lord is saying this is equally for everybody. It's a very simple scripture, but yet profound, and I'm going to, and it says this, so I don't misquote it, I'll get one of these things right here. It's in Romans 5, verse 5. Romans 3, verse 9. I'll get there in a minute. It's Proverbs 3, verse 3, where it says, Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, and I thought about that and thinking, why is that appropriate? You see, I believe all of you brothers and sisters here, you are very, very capable people. You could do a good job. But God wants you to do a job which is good, but anointed by him, and it comes out of a motivation which is different to if you were leading, you know, some, what's the word, secular, I don't like that word, organization. This is something that you are participating in, which is going to be furthering the purposes of God in this city. Sounds really high, doesn't it? But you've each got a small part. And as I'm not any good at cardiac surgery, I thought I'd just do the bit about putting them around your neck. So could I have people to help me do this? Just take one of these and... Now, you may well want to put these in the bin when you get home. Or you might want to put them somewhere to remind you, because there will be times when things aren't going so easy. And there are times when things, you think, well, why am I messing about with this? It's because what God has already been doing into you, and what's going to increase in you, is your sense of love for our God and faithfulness to him. That is the keynote on which I believe that you and, of course, everybody else is already working on. And that is going to transfer into a faithfulness and a love for the people that you're serving. That's love. And I had a sense that God was saying to me, and Andy's already used this word, that as you put these on your neck, and if I just pray now, elders will pray, that God will bring upon you an anointing, which you might not feel anything dramatic, but an anointing to help you to do this to the praise and glory of the Lord Jesus, which will help to advance his kingdom in the city. And Lord, I want to pray that for these brothers and sisters here now who are willing to serve you in this way. And thank you for all who serve us in various ways, but specifically this morning, these people, Lord. And I invoke you, Lord Jesus, because you've told us to call out to you, that your Holy Spirit will come upon these people now with a fresh anointing right now, Lord, that deep in their hearts there will be something which will enlarge their capacity to love you, to be faithful to you, and indeed to serve you as well as us as the church. So receive an anointing in the Lord Jesus Christ to take you forward in the purposes that he has for you and for the church for as long as he keeps you in the position that you're taking on. The Lord bless you deeply, and you move out of that anointing to bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
God brought to my mind two verses out of Habakkuk which didn't mean very much to me until Norman came up. But now it does, because I think they say the same, God wants to say the same thing in another way. And it says in Habakkuk, towards the end, it says, "The Lord all-powerful or almighty sends up in flames what nations and people work so hard to gain. But just as the waters fill the sea, the land will be filled with people who know and honour the Lord." He's calling you, and I think it's especially for Rich and Steve. He's calling you to something which you can do, that you can build things, but that's not what he wants you to do. He doesn't want you to strive to gain something. He wants you to strive to be people who know and honour the Lord, and that will build things.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
I just want to pray. Yeah, Father, I pray that you would surround all these guys with your protection, Lord, in this new stuff that you're calling them to, and the new vision, the new resources that you're giving them to empower them to do this, God. But I pray your protection around them, around their families, God, around the people that they're with, that you would enable them to be fully focused on what you are calling them to do and the people that you're calling them to be in this time, God. Mm-hmm. So would you surround them? Surround them with yourself. Surround them with your love. Fill them with your spirit. Lord, bless them in every way so that they can be people who bring that blessing to the church and beyond. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you to you guys who are serving us in leadership and serving us as trustees. It's a really precious thing. So thank you. We thank you as a body. We say thank you to you, and that we receive you, and we will hear you, and we will respond to what God says. We just thank you for your time. Thank you that you help us comply with the law of the land, and that our governance of the church has to reflect those standards, and that as you seek to be faithful in that, so we'll also be faithful. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
God has called us as one family together to move on in the adventures he has for us, hasn't he? That's brilliant, Nick. Thank you. Should we just stand together one more time? I'd like this to be an expression of our faith, of our expectation of that new season that was prophesied, that we're moving on into more of what God has for us. We're not stuck, we're not staying the same, and we're moving and flowing together with strong identity as his family into all that he has for us. So Lord, we receive today from your spirit and from the love of you, Father, the word of Christ, which is about the season changing, of spring being in the air, of saying we're going to be moving on. Give us all faith, Lord. Increase our faith. Increase our expectation. And take us on in excitement and with a flexible heart and mind into more of what you have for us. And thank you, Lord, that you're the one building your church. And we're saying it's your kingdom that's coming. We commit ourselves to you and to ever-increasing faith in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Thank you, everybody. Amen.